Ladies and gentlemen,
the very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence, on infiltration instead of invasion, on subversion instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations. Its preparations are concealed, not published. Its mistakes are buried, not headlined. Its dissenters are silenced, not praised. No expenditure is questioned, no secret is revealed. That is why the Athenian lawmaker Solon decreed it a crime for any citizen to shrink from controversy. I am asking your help in the tremendous task of informing and alerting the American people, confident that with your help, man will be what he was born to be, free and independent.
Good morning, everybody. You're listening to ForAllOfUs.com. The name of the show is Eternal Vigilance. I'm your host, Justin Prim. Thank you for joining me this morning. Oh, it's one of those mornings, guys. It's one of those mornings where it was hard to roll out of bed. It's cold here in the foothills of North Carolina. There was fog on the field, and all was well. And then the alarm clock went off. Oh, I so wanted to go back to bed. I think we're going to have a good show for you today. We've got a couple of people that are supposed to be calling in. There's a lady that I met on Facebook. Her name is Melissa Hill. She got arrested at the G20 summit last week. So she's supposed to be calling in here in a few minutes, and hopefully we'll get to speak to her. Hopefully she'll call in. And during the second hour, we have a soldier who just got home from overseas. Another guy I met on Facebook. Ha ha, Matt Green, if you're listening. Matt did a show the other day he does a show called The Word, and the word for the day was Facebook. And it's on our archive. You should really listen to it. It's really good. And I'm kind of a Facebook junkie, and he went at people who like Facebook pretty hard. But, you know, the thing about it is the points that he were making were good. And, you know, and really hard to argue with, too. And, you know, I guess my only justification for the whole deal was I was trying to just let Matt know. I was like, man, you know, I'm just trying to spread the word about who we are and what we do here on the station. I use it as a social network. I know that it's an invasion of my privacy because, well, it's not really an invasion because I'm giving up my own information. But, I mean, I enjoyed it. It's all right. I mean, it could be worse, right? But, I mean, I'm meeting nice people. I'm meeting different people, and I'm seeing more and more of who's listening to the show, who's calling in, you know. So, I mean, and not to mention a lot. That's what I was telling Matt the other day. You know, I called him after he did his show. I didn't get to hear it live, but I listened to the archive. I called him and told him, I said, you know, a lot of the news articles that I talk about here on the station, during my shows, I get from people that are, you know, sending me all kinds of stuff. And, you know, there's nice people. I'm meeting a lot of patriotic people, people that are AKA awake, so-called awake. I posted a comment from our station owner the other day, Matthew Green, on my Facebook account last night. And I put sleeple, and the definition of sleeple were people who think they're awake and refuse to believe in controlled opposition. Sleeple. So the next time and that's a big thing for Matt, me and him talk about that all the time, is he doesn't like name calling. He doesn't like, you know, he thinks it's rude and a little bit outrageous to tell people that they're asleep, or to are arrogant to call yourself awake, or, you know, stuff like that. And I absolutely see his point. You know, I think those are terms that have just been pushed to the limit of some acceptability here. So I like Matt. Matt's good for me because Matt challenges, you know, a lot of trains of thought that I used to have, still do. You know, I need people like that. You know, other people, they get offended by people who don't believe what they believe. And I think that's unfortunate, really. You know, I'm not built that way. I like meeting people who don't share all my beliefs, share all my views. I like meeting people that challenge me, you know, challenge my train of thought. So, but like I said, that's just me. I know a lot of people don't like it. A lot of people can't deal with it. Oh, man. Tell you what, the new schedule's been getting to me. I know what it's all about now. You know, when I just do 2 hours a week on Saturday, I used to get geeked up for it. Like, yeah, here comes Saturday morning. Awesome. You know, I know that not a lot of people listen not a lot of people are parked in front of their computer listening to internet radio on Saturday morning. But, you know, my archive files do pretty good throughout the week, especially on Mini Nova. So, and I really, I've got one show on Mini Nova that's getting ready to hit 1,000 listeners, so, or 1,000 downloads. So I'm pretty proud of that as well. So we're seeing a little bit of a turn upwards in the listenership. And, you know, we need that, man. You know, alternative media needs that, you know. I mean, if you really are making an effort to listen to what people are saying on the radio, you know, I think that's awesome. That's better than sitting down in front of Fox News and getting your news, and or sitting down in front of CNN or MSNBC, or, you know, if the kids are watching cartoons on Saturday morning and you're anywhere near close to a computer, you know, please turn it on, you know. I mean, just any time that you can get throughout the week, you know, and I always email the shows out. You can friend me at Facebook at Eternal Vigilance. I'm also on MySpace under Justin Prim. I have a Twitter that I don't check that much, but it's We Are Change NC. And if you're wondering why all these are different, some of them were taken and some of them weren't. But the We Are Change NC is a group I'm involved in, and we really like being part of that. And we organize protests, and we burn DVDs, and we're politically active in our community. And, you know, it's funny, man. I'm a member of that group, and we go out, and we've tried to have public viewings of, like, Endgame and the Obama Deception and Wake Up Call and, you know, different DVDs. The local library here in town approved us to go in and have a movie viewing. And then called me 5 hours after I got the permission slip and said, now we've Googled your group and we can't, you told us that you weren't political and you told us that you weren't religious. And I was like, well, the We Are Change movement isn't political because we're not backing a candidate. We're not backing a Republican. We're not backing a Democrat. We're not backing a Libertarian. We're not backing anybody. So, you know, don't come at me, lady, like I'm in a political group. And she's like, well, no, it's just too much controversy. We feel like you lied to us about who you are and the group that you represent. And I was like, well, what did I lie about? You know, you asked me if it was political or religious, and I told you no. And what did I lie about? I mean, you know, and then some people say, oh, well, you're just cutting hairs, Justin, because this is a political group and y'all are political activists and blah, blah, blah. It's like, but yeah, but by definition, that's not, you know, by political definition, that's not what our group is. But see, now what makes me so mad is the 912 group here in town can jump from venue to venue to venue, and they're in there talking about, you know, and the 912 group is made up of nothing but Republicans. There's no Democrats in the 912 group. So all these neocons are getting together, holding hands and singing whatever, you know, songs that they want to, and they're in there cheering Glenn Beck on, yay, yay, yay. My mom was watching Glenn Beck yesterday when I walked into her house, and I said, look at this old Mormon puke that conservative white Christian America thinks is a Christian. She goes, he's not a Mormon, is he? And I grabbed her computer and pulled up the 2020 interview on YouTube, you know. And then somebody was trying to blast me on Facebook the other day. So what if he's a Mormon? What does that mean? I'm like, and I'm emailing him back. Well, are you a Christian? Do you consider yourself? What do you consider yourself? if you're in such defense of a Mormon. He's like, well, I ain't a Mormon, but I'm a Christian, and Mormons are Christians too, aren't they? And I was like, oh God. Yeah, I guess you've never read the Book of Mormon, have you? Yeah, so it's okay. But, I mean, you know, it's whatever, man. I'm getting an email right now. All right, let me go ahead and respond to that. Excellent. Okay. So, yeah, but, you know, while we're waiting on our caller, hope she didn't forget, she probably rolled back over and crawled back into bed, too. Oh, man, I've got this article here, and this is really creepy to me, and one of the reasons I say that is because I don't understand what these people, you know, what these people hope to accomplish by this. This is an article, and it's from theexaminer.com. And now if you Google this, you can find about 20 different articles on it. I read through three or four of them last night, and this is just the one I decided to pick. This says, NASA moon bombing violates space law and may cause conflict with lunar ET UFO civilizations. Yeah. No, but all jokes aside, they're getting ready to launch a missile into the what would be the equivalent of the South Pole of the moon. Now, I'm not making this up. This is absolutely 100% true. This is getting ready to happen. NASA is getting ready to bomb the moon. They're flying out. I think the mission leaves today, and they're getting ready to fly out. Of course, it takes them a couple days to get to the moon, but then they're gonna launch a bomb in it. Like, okay, raise your hand right now if you think that's a bad idea. I think it's a bad idea. What the hell do we need to launch a missile into the lunar surface of the moon for? And then in the article, it goes on to say that they're gonna blast the surface of the moon because they want to see if ice particles will fly out. I'm like, oh man, why don't y'all just tell people you're going up there to look for Elvis? You know, I mean, if you just gonna lie, they don't even try to make up good lies anymore. Yeah, we're looking for water on the moon. That's why we're gonna go bomb it. Like, dude, are you serious? Please shut up. Don't insult my intelligence. Golly. And do you notice that, you know, I'm 29 years old, and when I was a kid, every time they launched a shuttle into space, it was a big deal on the news, and they made a great big deal out of it, and they were only flying the only missions that we were told about. They were only doing it maybe once or twice a year, and it was a great big deal. And then here for the last, if you go to NASA.com and look at their itinerary, and they've got an itinerary made up for like the next 40, 50 years. And look at all the flights. All the flights that they've launched in the last 10 or 15 years. I mean, we're talking about hundreds. I mean, they're going up every chance they get now. And, I mean, it really makes you wonder what they're doing up there. And I read a book last year, Dark Secret was what it was called, The Secret History of NASA. And for a lot of people who don't know this, the American government doesn't own NASA, so I mean they're partial owners in it, but they're not the major stockholders in NASA. NASA is privatized as well, so that's another thing that should make people very sketchy and very wary of who NASA is and what their goals are. I mean it couldn't be good. It couldn't be good at all. You know, not everything. I'm not fear-mongering here, but not everything those people are doing in space is a good idea. So, I mean, but let's take some of your calls. If you want to call in and give your opinion on what's going on, right under, when you go to the website, of course, if you're listening to the show, it's right beside the media player that you clicked. It's 425-516-7485. That's 425-516-7485. And you know, I can multi call on here too. So if more than one people can call in at a time, and we can have an open discussion. But you know, and it's fine. You know, I know a lot of people are hesitant about calling in on shows for some reason. They get nervous or whatever. Don't be nervous. It's okay. It's only going to be recorded and last forever. That made everybody feel a lot better. Yeah, man. So this NASA thing, this the moon bombing. I mean, holy hell. You know, and see, that's another thing that I was talking with my mom last night about too. We were discussing this, and I told her, I said, you know, our the tidal waves and the currents and stuff, a lot of that is affected by, you know, the gravitational pull of the moon. So what the hell is going to happen when they go up there and they just start bombing it? You know, I mean, and who are these people that are up there doing it? It's like I said. You know, NASA's not 100% even owned by the United States government. So then you've got, you know, these private elitists that are up there that we already know can't be trusted. We already know that have an evil agenda against humanity. I mean, what's the deal? What could be going on? You know, I mean, you got to ask yourself this kind of stuff. You always look for the motives behind what people are doing. I mean, it's insanity to me. I have no idea. And, you know, and I'm puzzled by it, too. You know, I want to know, you know, and this crap about looking for water on the moon. So you're gonna go up there and start blasting, shooting missiles. Now, they got it on there. They're talking about shooting missiles at the lunar surface of the moon. We're just going to blow up a little bit and see if we can find some signs of water. Like, why? Why do they even care if there's water on the moon? That's why I don't understand that either. I mean, What in the world is going on? Woof. Absolutely woof. I can't believe, you know, and they're just telling people, but see, they're not saying it on the news. You're not hearing that junk on the news. You're not hearing about, you know, they're not telling people. They're not telling people that they're doing this, you know. It's just being leaked. You know, and actually the way I found out about it is people on Facebook had started posting it, you know, started talking about what's going on. And I really wanted to find out, you know, what people were thinking about this, you know. Is it a big deal? Do you think it's a big deal? Do you think it's scary? I mean, I don't think it's a good idea by no means, you know. Because the moon does affect our gravitational pull. It does affect, you know, our oceans, you know. I'm glad I don't live near one. I can tell you that much. And another thing I was wondering, too, is if they shoot the surface of the moon, how long would it take for the gravitational pull to start messing up? I mean, would it be instantaneous? I just don't get it. I don't understand. Yeah, it's all of it seems like just a far-fetched farce to me. I mean, they're lying about something. I wish I could say more, really. I mean, I want to know what's going on. Let's see. October 9th, 2009, bombing of the moon. NASA orbiter will bomb the moon with a 2-ton kinetic weapon to create a 5-mile-wide deep crater as an alleged water-seeking and lunar colonization experiment. It's contrary to space law prohibiting environmental modification of celestial bodies. The NASA moon bombing. What's the deal on now? What's up with space law? When did we start enacting laws of space? And who's up there enforcing those laws? See, this is just a crock, man. This is a crock to me. See, the NASA boom bombing, a component of the LCROSS mission. I guess that's L Cross, not La Cross, but L Cross, may also trigger conflict with a known extraterrestrial civilization on the moon, as reported on the moon. And witness statements by U.S. astronauts Buzz Aldrin, Neil Armstrong, and witness statements to NSA National Security photos documents regarding an extraterrestrial base on the dark side of the moon. Wow. Now, you know, Buzz Aldrin and Neil Armstrong have said stuff to the extent that there was life beyond this planet. I forget which one of them was on a... One of the astronauts was on Alex Jones a couple months ago talking about monoliths and stuff like that. So, Who knows? Let's see, the NASA L Cross. Oh, here we go. We've got the definition for that. Lunar Crater Observation and Sensing Satellite. Awesome. Mission, which departed on Earth June 18, 2009, according to one report, flying over the moon's southern hemisphere, L Cross will use its high percussion instruments as well as up-close images of terrain gathered by the lunar orbiter to seek out crater just shallow enough to, just shallow enough and dark enough to be a prime bombing target. What in the hell? See, the more I'm reading this, the more I'm just, engulfed in curiosity. I mean, what in the world is going on? And, if you've ever listened to my show before, I'm not real into, the aliens and all this other stuff. But, man, this right here just fascinates me. And it even says on here, 5 miles wide. What in the world? That's crazy. I wonder what NASA is saying about this. Let's see if I can't find some of their... What? That's crazy. Yeah, this is outlandish, man. I can't believe that this is going on. This is incredible. Oh, I wish I had more to say about it. I just don't understand what's going on with this. This is amazing. Trying to read this and do the show at the same time, but I don't know. I'm giving up on that. There's got to be something else to this. We're getting ready to take a break in a few minutes. Hey, send me some emails, man. I'm posting all these shows and getting all these hits and all these downloads, and nobody's sending me anything. And I'm not fishing for compliments. Send me some hate mail. Send me something. Send me some criticism. Send me any show ideas. If you want to recommend guests, the first couple of months I was on there, the only emails I got were people going, call this person, have them on your show. I had one guy that bugged me so much, I just sent him an email and told him to quit emailing me. I don't want to hear from you anymore, jerk. God almighty, he wouldn't leave me alone. He was like a cyber stalker. Now, I don't want one of those, by the way. if you just want to send me some email, whether it be friendly, unfriendly, but it's eternalvigilance1776@gmail.com. eternalvigilance1776@gmail.com. Send me anything, anything that you want to talk about. If you got show ideas, criticisms, if you got someone you think I'd like to interview or talk to, you got any of their contact information, help me out. I'm doing this by myself. Every show on this station is self-produced. So that's another thing to keep in mind. We're our producers. We're our own show host. We've got our own things that we have to do, and we're 100% responsible for everything that gets done or not done on our shows. So, anything that you want to do to help us out, we'll absolutely take it. Another thing, too, Bob and Elizabeth have a show from 2 o'clock to 3 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, Monday through Friday, called Subterranean Homesick News. And Bob was on there by himself the other day blasting Obama, and it was so funny. He went on and on for a few minutes, and I just couldn't stop laughing. Elizabeth is also great. And Matt Green... does a show from 1 to 2 Eastern Time, Monday through Friday. And it's called The Word. And every day he's got a different word. So looks like old Maddie's calling in right now. Hold on, Matt. Okay. Nope. Hold on, man. I'm trying to add you, buddy. Oh, I'm trying, man. There you go, buddy. Young? Other? We're getting ready to go to break. We'll be back in a minute.
Daily 6 PM GMT. Call +1 4255 167 485. That's 4255 167 485. A to Z of topics: alibi, Bible, criminals, deception, extraordinary rendition, food, global, Holocaust, injustice, justice, Knights of Malta, love, money, net neutrality, opinions, propaganda, Queen Elizabeth, RFID chips, socialism, terrorism, UFOs, violence, WMD, Xena, youth, zeitgeist, or a topic of your choosing. Join us on
The Word.
Hello there, I'm the Easter Bunny.
Our products will make your life better.
Howdy, I'm Santa Claus.
Our products will make your life better.
A vote for us is a vote for your children.
Our products will make your life better.
Brought to you by Blah Blah Corp, a family company.
Our products will make your life better.
I used to have a sad, pathetic life until I started using this miracle cream.
Our products will make your life better.
Stop. 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 Please stop. Thank you. You know, there really is no room for that stuff on this network. Cue the music, please. Introducing, for all of us, Interactive Media. If you want fresh, we've got it. If you want upbeat, we've got it. If you want honest quality content, guess what? We've got it. For all of us, Interactive Media is the platform. What's really important is who and what is on the platform. Our spectacular hosting and support team complement one another with oodles of talent, knowledge and passion. Their combined effort to produce original, thought-provoking content is obvious, and we are confident that you will enjoy our hard work. Remember to tell your friends about forallofus.com, the home of For All of Us Interactive Media.
This is Joe Sixpack. You know, I used to give my news from Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, Bill O'Reilly, and Glenn Beck. But somebody turned me on to For All of Us, you know, on the internet, and a show on at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Subterranean Homesick News with Bob and Elizabeth. You know, those people really know how to connect the dots. They really know how to read between the lines. Subterranean Homesick News.
We're just in a break, David, that's why you can hear that thing playing.
It's okay.
Day and night, I toss and turn, I keep stressing my mind. I look for peace, but see I don't attain. What I need for keys, this silly game we play. Now look at this. Madness, the magnet keeps attracting me. I try to run, but see, I'm not that fast. I think I'm first, but surely finish last. Cause day and night, the lonely stoner seems to free his mind at night. He's all alone through the day and night. The lonely loner seems to free his mind at night. At night, day and night, the lonely stoner seems to free his mind at night. He's all alone, some things will never change. The lonely loner seems to free his mind at night. At night, hold the phone. The lonely stoner, Mr. Solo Dolo. He's on the move, can't seem to shake the shade. Within his dreams, he sees the life he made. The pain is deep. A silent sleeper, you won't hear a peep. The girl he wants don't see no one in two. It seems the feelings that she had her through. Cause day and night, the lonely stoner seems to free his mind at night. He's all alone.
Welcome back to Eternal Vigilance. I'm your host, Justin Prim. The station that you're listening to is forallofus.com. Joined on the line now by Mr. Matthew Green and Mr. David Barlow. David, we haven't met. How are you doing, sir?
Hey there. I'm doing fine. Good
awesome.
To hear you.
What's going on, Matt?
How you, Justin? We've got John as well, actually.
What's that now?
We've got John in the call as well.
Oh, John, are you there?
Yeah, man. I'm here.
We're going to have an international throwdown, boys. What's going on?
Oh, I was just reading that, what you got sent, Justin, about God, right?
Oh, you talking about the email I forwarded to you?
Yeah, it's just the typical hypocrisy. You know, the good things are God, but the bad things are somehow our fault.
Yeah.
And that's just the typical type of rhetoric from indoctrinated masses, unfortunately. You know, she mentions pilots spraying. She's talking about sea weather control, climate control, seeding, right?
Yeah, like, that was wrote by
love pilots hate what they're doing, but think about God's role. Yeah, if God's the all-seeing, all-knowing, all-doing, he's making them do it, love.
Well, I'll be honest with you, Matt. That message was actually wrote by her husband, and I don't want to say their names on air or call them out, but you know he after being locked up, and you know I told you he sent me an email saying that he was tortured and that he didn't want to go into any detail about what they did to him. I think a lot of people after being incarcerated for so long, their only choice really mentally is to go to a higher being and put their faith and their trust in this God and pray to him. Because mentally, I don't know if any of y'all have ever been incarcerated, but I have, and I've spent months and months in there at a time, and it will break you down. And, you know, a lot of people in there, they crawl into the Bible, they crawl into the Quran, they crawl into the Torah, and that's where they live mentally, because it's an easier, safer place to be in that world mentally than to be surrounded by criminals and murderers and rapists and drug dealers. So, and I have no idea what kind of experiences this man went through. So,
right, but to be somehow implying I get the impression that they're implying you're somehow godless. You know, you're not putting enough God into your effort.
Yeah, well, I think he thinks maybe it's a better subject for me to be on than you know, the things I talk about. But I mean, I welcome criticism, man. I mean, I'm not, you know, I'm not offended by anything the man wrote to me, and he seems to have some deep religious views. And he, you know, that when he wrote to me that he was having dreams about, you know, the end of the world and big tidal waves and stuff like that. I mean, that's, you know, I don't know what to say to that. I really don't.
It's rather strange that people with religious faith are offended if you criticize their faith. But if you are faithless, you're not supposed to be offended when they criticize you for your faithlessness.
What do you think, David?
Well, I think I do believe in faith, but I think it's faith in ourselves, you know?
Yeah.
All the powers inside us, we're just consciousness, infinite consciousness, that's the thing. But we just have to wake up to it.
I'll be honest with you, David, from what I've seen in my interaction with humanity, I don't put a lot of faith in most humans, I mean.
Yeah, but they're all asleep. I mean, they're all imprisoned in a tiny consciousness, that's the problem.
Yeah, hey, but Matt.
It doesn't matter whether it's religion, politics, what. I mean, look at it, look how small it is, you know, it's...
Now, hey, Matt, did you hear my definition of sleeple?
Yeah. I think it's catching on, this sleeple thing, isn't it? I didn't intend for that, actually.
I loved it. I put it on Facebook and nobody commented.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, it's a difficult topic because who are the controlled opposition? Is it me? Is it you? Is it him? Is it her? Is it them? Who is it? We all know. If we're actually thinking for ourselves for more than a minute, there is a controlled opposition. It makes perfect sense. These power structures are not just going to give up by having an opposition they can't control. It's not going to happen. It's not happened in over 5,000 years of so-called civilization. It's not going to happen in 2009 either.
Yeah.
So who are they? Where is this controlled opposition, in what guise are they hiding in?
Yeah, no joke. Well, you know, it's so funny, man, because you talk to these people that are, you know, Ron Paul worshippers, you talk to these people that are Alex Jones worshippers, and they're supposed to be out, you know, spreading the word about the New World Order and in the Fed, and anytime you criticize anybody that they're involved with, like if you criticize Ron Paul or Alex Jones, for instance, these people get so offended, I mean, highly offended. I mean, it's you get more attention and aggression from them than you do walking up to someone on the street corner that doesn't know anything about this and start
absolutely
talking to them. Yeah.
And they become very derogative, calling you a troll and a shill and
yeah.
And disinfo agent, and all you've done is asked a question, and that's the scary groupthink mentality. That they see one person do it, who then gets praised by two people, and then those three people do it, and then they're getting praised by everybody else, and before you know it, it's an accepted norm to just chastise and ridicule the messenger, if you like, the question. The answer to the question is completely irrelevant. What's relevant here is that we're all clubbing together.
Yeah, no joke. What do you think, John?
My own personal opinion is, I mean, I've mentioned this on one of my forum posts, is that, you know, the criticism of the person and the reaction to the person is more telling than what the answer that you ask, you know, the answer to the question that you asked in the first place would have been. Mm. You know, this is, you ask a question, you know, it just shows that we don't have freedom. We have a liberty that can be removed from you, and we won't answer your question. You're banned from asking them anyway.
Yeah. David, you got anything to add to this?
No, I think people like Alex Jones are just still on an ego trip, you know. They're ego-orientated people, that's all.
I hope it's no more sinister than that, David. I honestly do.
I don't think it is. I don't think it is my stuff. I think they're genuinely, you know, they're just angry people as well. They seem to be angry people. Now, Alex Jones, God, blimey, I mean, he's He's always sliding off, isn't he?
He is, and his fans will defend his every word, no matter how obscene it is. He can do no wrong.
Becoming a bit like a religion.
And even if he does wrong, it's because of a good reason. There's got to be a good reason somewhere, because he's a good guy. You know, it's not about money, it's not about influence, it's not about being number one that he's always calling himself.
Yeah,
he could end up as head of his own church.
Well, it's funny that you said that, David, because that's really what it feels like as far as the mentality goes with a lot of these people. Because when you get together and you talk to them, same with Ron Paul supporters, I actually think they're a little bit more fierce because Ron Paul's a Republican, and around here where I live and in the States, I think that the Republicans feel shafted, and they feel like, oh, we can just change our party and that we can get back on track. You know, all we got to do is throw out a couple people who aren't conservative enough or Christian enough or whatever enough, and we'll just get the Republicans back in there and everything will be fine.
Yeah, get this accepted norm trickled into everybody.
Yeah.
I don't think it makes particularly much difference, left, right, Republican, Democrat. In any event, they still all follow the same agenda. I mean, what has been the big change that Obama promised us? Oh, yeah, they've changed rendition to transportation. Just a word. But you still fly by air to a prison that's secret or in some other country. You know, what difference does it make? I mean, Bush's...
Now, John, now
yeah,
you
remember,
Obama,
John, though, you've got to pick that first.
It's called enhanced interrogation techniques. Now, come on, John. The American government would never torture anybody. It's all a sham.
Yeah, but the American people would allow it because of the likes of your sensational entertainment pieces like 24.
Yeah.
You know, where it's perfectly okay to kidnap some guy's 14-year-old daughter and start pulling her fingernails out if he's a terrorist.
This 47-year-old woman online last month called me a pussy because I wasn't for torture. And those were her exact words. She told me where she was from, how old she was, let me know her political views, and that anybody that wasn't for torture was a pussy. And that's exactly what she said. And I was like, oh my.
I wonder if she allows her husband to attach diodes to her pussy.
Yeah, warm up the old car battery, honey. We're gonna have a good old torturous evening.
Time to recharge the batteries.
Oh my God! And then there was this lady on Facebook last week that told me that she let her husband waterboard her to see if it was torture, and then put in there, "It's not that bad. It's not that bad. It's not really torture." And I'm sitting there thinking, either this lady is insane or she's lying or first of all, she's got to be nuts to voluntarily let someone, and you know what he did? He probably threw a cup of water in her face. Oh, I've been waterboarded. It's not that bad.
Okay, but there's a slight difference than someone that you've taken a vow under God to, right? Married to, with versus a CIA agent that you don't even know his name and you don't really know if he's ever going to stop.
It's
not exactly the same, is it? Oh, there was a even pretend to waterboard me for a little while so I can experience what it is to be
a... Yeah, it's different when it's three 250-pound pissed off, you know, paid agents that are there that are going to beat you up before they do it, throw you down, and like you said, do it till your body stops wiggling. Oh, is he dead? Oh, we don't know. We don't ever keep track. We just do it.
Yeah, it's not exactly the same, is it? It's not an experience I would like to go through. I'm aware. I don't know the full extent of the techniques, but I know why they do it, and it's done to it plays on your purest instincts within you, things that you just cannot override. That survival system that's built in every one of us is very powerful, and that playing with, you can't override it, you can't switch it off, you can't ignore it. You get in an absolute state of panic.
Well, all of this is irrelevant to anybody who's for torture, because we've signed treaty after treaty after treaty in international law saying that we wouldn't do it, that we were never going to do it, and then they start this fake war on terror, and that's the justification here in America with this violent nation,
How can they start a war on terror when it's the U.S., British, if you like, the Anglo-American alliance that have funded all these terrorists, from the IRA, the Iran-Contras, the Sandinistas, the list goes on and on and on. Give us a list of countries, A to Z, and you guarantee the British-American empire will have tortured people and supported terrorism in those countries.
Yeah, no joke. But, you know, you say that around here, and people go, well, you're un-American. You know, blind patriotism is a duty around here. I know none of y'all live in the States, but, you know, you talk to these people around here, and it's in both Republicans and Democrats. They'll tell you, people that hate politics, just support our troops, don't ask no questions, do what the government tells you to. If you're not for the war, you're anti-American. If you say anything about America being imperialist, well, if you don't like this country, just leave. You know how many times I hear that shit over and over? Anytime I'm criticizing, if I'm in public or if I'm with friends or family or whoever I'm around and I'm spouting off and going on and on and on about the things that I know to be true, people just get deeply offended. I mean,
if being British means supporting, terrorizing, and bombing innocent civilians in 280 countries, I'm not British.
Yeah.
That's not being done in my name.
Well, you know, when they tell me stuff like that, they say, well, if you don't like this country, get out of here. And say, you know what, buddy? If I don't like this country, I have the right to try to change it, you know? That's the way I look at it. The more people that I can give this knowledge and information to and share with, the better off we'll all be. But, you know, they're people's preconceived notion. They cling to them like they're children, you know, like they would never let nothing happen to them and just keep them safe and warm. And, you know, this is what I've been raised to believe. How dare you tell me something different, you know?
It's like Jews who criticize Israel. They call them self-haters.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the same thing, isn't it?
Yeah, self-loathing or something like that, yeah. Yeah. But I don't consider that to be what I do. You know, I'm trying to challenge people's train of thought, and I try to do it in a non-offensive way. I was a professional salesman and working sales jobs for the last 10 years, so I've been trained on how to talk to people, read people's body language, you know, and find out people's little ticks. It's called their hot buttons, the things that turn people on the most, and, you know, what to say, what not to say. But when you're coming at people with this kind of information, it's a whole different ball game, you know.
So you're fighting years and years and years of indoctrination, from cradle to grave indoctrination of their parents, their grandparents, and they themselves. I mean, you know, to turn people around is quite difficult, because they've been so propagandized and indoctrinated. They've not been taught.
But we all have, John. The only real difference between what Sleeple would call sheeple and maybe ourselves is the decision to actually go and check out, just go and have a look and see for yourself. The challenge always is from these shows, be it Bob and Lizzie or Justin. I heard you were talking about people, Justin, or our shows. Is to prove us wrong, and don't prove it to us. Prove it to yourself.
Yeah,
you know, don't just throw this stuff in the bin. Oh, I might be lying to you anyway. I might be your biggest nightmare, your worst enemy. But don't just assume it.
Yeah,
prove me wrong. Go and have a look for yourself. I can't. There's the old adage: you can take a horse to water, but you can't make it drink.
Yeah.
Right. Well, there's the water pool. What are you gonna do? You're thirsty, have a look. It's not going to cost you anything other than a little bit of time, you know, just take a look. And a lot of this work's been made so easy for you with the likes of America from Freedom to Fascism and Improbable Collapse, Demolition of Our Republic. These types of videos, they're a great starting point. And again, don't just accept it on face value. You don't watch that video and think, okay, I'm the most informed person on the planet, for goodness sake.
Yeah.
Check it out.
I sent copies of In Plain Sight, you know that one?
On okay, 9/11, yeah.
To a couple of rich right-wing people I know. And their attitude, they came back and said, oh, that's disgraceful, you know. It's disgraceful what's going on. But let's hope Obama covers it all up. We don't want the stock market falling or anything like that, you know. So that was their attitude.
Yeah, it's disgraceful. Another crooked politician will fix it all.
Another deceiving liar will... deceiving lying puppet.
Yeah. Hey, John, did you hear Bob the other day with his Obama impression?
I about
fell off the chair in front of the computer. I was laughing so hard.
I don't mind saying it because it's kind of true because we all are. This isn't coming from a point of racism, but the implication is that Obama's basically just a house nigger, you know, just like we all are. You're either living at the bottom of the garden in the plantation and you've got holes in your shoes, or the odd few. The lucky ones get brought into the slave owner's mansion, and you get to eat the scraps.
Get rogered by the master.
Yeah, get your wife rogered by the master and have illegitimate brown children.
Well, it's not about race.
It's absolutely not about race. That phrase that I used was not. I'm not saying
that's what I was getting ready.
We're all house niggers.
All the presidents for the last 50 years have been house niggers.
But we all are, aren't we? Let's be right about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, if you think about it, when the so-called slave owners, right, had their slaves, they would feed them just, clothe them just, and give them just about enough shelter. How is that different to today? You get a bunch of tokens that you take to the slave owner's little hut called Walmart, and he gives you your slave owner's clothes, right? And then you take some more of your slave owner's tokens down to the slave-owned food store and get your food.
Hey, Matt, you
and
know
some
the...
of your other tokens, and these tokens are called money, right? But he's still living on the plantation. He's still on it,
but
it isn't a certain amount given to you.
But it isn't real money, is it? I mean, it's just cash.
It is real.
Cash ain't real. It ain't real money. It's tokens. It's you might as well. I mean, it's fiat tokens. I mean, it's only what is accepted as an exchange. It's not real money. That, you know, you don't really own it. It's not.
If you turned up at the Bank of England's door with a £20 note and asked for its worth in, say, gold or something, you know, they'd hand you a note back saying you owe 10,000 quid.
Hey guys, we're getting ready to go to break here in a few minutes. Y'all want to stick around for a little while longer after the break?
Yeah, I will.
All right. John, you up for it?
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
So sure. While the break's on, it's cup of tea time.
Yeah.
Dave, you going to stick around too, brother?
Sure, I'm just going to get a coffee.
Excellent. Well, I'll run to the bathroom and get coffee here in a minute.
All right.
I'm looking at, on my clock, we're on issue 53. You're doing a good job, Justin. I didn't think you'd mind us calling in. We were having this heated debate, actually, I don't know about heated. We were talking about Iran and whether another Cold War, is it another preemptive war, all these different things. And it's this stuff should be being done on air.
When we get back, we'll tackle that. I had one more comment I wanted to make about what you were talking about. Like that's one of the oldest tricks in the book, because the thing they were doing back then with keeping some of the slaves in the field and some of the slaves in the house, that caused division. So with them hating each other, they could never rise up, and they never realized that the 100 slaves on the plantation could overthrow this master anytime they wanted to. And that's what they do with us. They've got absolutely. The rich against the poor. They've got the black against the white, the Hispanics against the Asians.
Also, it provides that hope-based obedience as well. You know, if I'm really good and really work hard, I might get to live in a master's quarters too.
Yep, that's exactly right. All right, be back in a few minutes.
Hey, I'm wrong. Should have done better than this. Please, I'll be strong. I'm finding it hard to resist. So show me what I'm looking for.